ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling, OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The man!
You gotta beat the man!
Whoa! It looks like there's a new sheriff in town!
And man, is it about time!
Hey, this is not a mirage! This is real! This is here! This is now! This is the second coming!
Now your host, Alan. What's his name?
Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening. Welcome to a post-Super Bowl edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio. We don't have any title belts to put on anybody here, but depending on who you believe, that championship belt either came from an intern or Nature Boy Ric Flair. Okay. I don't believe either one. I think they went to Kmart and said, that looks good. Get it on Aaron Rodgers. Go. Our phone number, as always, is 267-297-1397. If you Skype, you need to type in Sir Rockin' in your ad. Add the God of Internet Radio. And you'll be able to join us here on our program. Barring any difficulties in his schedule, Wildcat Chris Harris, former TNA wrestling superstar, multi-time world tag team champion, will be joining us on the program.
Hold on. We get to speak with Braden Walker tonight. It's going to be the best 15 minutes of my life.
Hey, dude, Braden Walker's dead. You can ask Chris Harris. He took him up behind a barn and shot him.
You do realize two things, Alan. That one, you never open with your encore. And two, that championship belt thing of the Green Bay Packers goes way back to when Aaron Rodgers was on the scout team.
So he was walking around with a belt on the scout team when he was carrying Brett Favre's clipboard around?
No, when he was on the scout team, they did a whole thing on ESPN on it the other day. When he was on the scout team, there were guys that weren't given a whole lot of effort. And so he did the whole showboat and did the infamous you put the strap around your waist.
Yeah, and your man crush showed up on ESPN to talk about it too.
Uh-huh. I know,
which
I saw
it. Pretty interesting. So, yes, Wildcat Chris Harris is going to be a part of ASW's Best of the Best. It is Saturday, March 5th in Orlando, Florida. You can go to aswflorida.com to check out the entire card. We'll run with it at certain points here on the show. As you already hear, Spug and Mace are with us from Wrestle Talk Radio, Talk to Talk Live, Bashing the Books, some Tap Outs to Knockouts. Believe me, we'll let them talk all about the kick heard, seen all over the world. That was a part of the UFC pay-per-view event this weekend. We will get into everything with WWE, including the mystery behind 2/21/11. The plot gets thicker. We will also be giving you a preview of this Sunday. Yeah, I can't believe it's Sunday. There's a pay-per-view. We're going to do back-to-back pay-per-views here in the wrestling world. This Sunday, it is TNA Against All Odds, and not to be outdone, WWE will follow right behind with Elimination Chamber. We're known for our contributors that come from all walks of the national media scene. Tonight is no different. We have a debut with us tonight. He is a contributor to the Miami Herald, who has done some recent interviews with Sean Waltman, Tori Wilson, the girls of the Diva Mania Tour, which may or may not be going on. We can't confirm or deny that because certain someone there doesn't return emails. So we would like to welcome Scott Fishman to the program. Thanks for taking time out of your life to be with us. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me tonight, Alan. I mean, I wanted to debut on 2/22/11, but this will be fine, I guess.
Oh, we'll talk. Well, that'll get tied into everything that's going on in the world. The amazing part of this past Thursday's Impact is, once again, they're drawing numbers with this show, guys. According to TNA Wrestling, this past week's Impact drew its second highest rating ever, with a 1.95 million viewers. Now, those viewers got to see Lifestyles of the Jarretts, which took 1, 2, 4 segments, I believe, out of this TV, going to the house that Jeff and his late wife passed away. But hey, I'm all for Jeff moving on in the relationship with Karen. I just don't need to see it on my damn TV. And, of course, we got all the kids, and there's going to be apparently a surprise waiting for them this Thursday on Impact. We're spoiler-free, but let's put it this way. Vinny Rue's been drinking from the Kool-Aid again, Scott. As someone who deals with mainstream media and whatnot, and you see, you know, Hollywood divorces on the news everywhere and battles over kids and everything and custody and money, I mean, in your opinion, is this just like trash TV that WWE was doing in the 90s when Russo and Ferrara were doing the show writing, or is this Jeff sitting there going, well, Kirk said it's cool. You cool with this, Karen? Yeah, I'm cool. Let's have some fun.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I know Kurt Angle went on Twitter not too long ago, and he went off on the whole Angle and everything and having his children involved in the whole situation. So that leads you to believe, oh, is he really, you know, is this really Kurt Angle saying this, you know, the wrestler, or this is Kurt Angle, you know, behind the scenes, a dad, you know, the ex-husband. I mean, obviously the numbers don't lie. I mean, there is some interest. Jeff Jarrett, you love him or hate him, and this whole Karen Angle situation is getting some sort of reaction in the Impact Zone nowadays, which is kind of hard. It's kind of like a library sometimes in there. But, I mean, in this type of situation, yeah, I mean, it's kind of bad that you use their, you know, your actual children. I mean, but if he's okay with it, and if Kurt Angle's actually okay with it, then I guess more power to him. But I think those segments were kind of overdone. I think maybe one or two maybe segments, but they really overdid it through the entire show to do that.
It was a little crazy to just be sitting there and go, oh, right, we're not wrestling. We're back at the Jarrett house in Hendersonville, and everybody's calling him Daddy Jarrett. I was just sitting there going, like, are we on a southern plantation, Spud? Did I miss something? I kept waiting for Karen to come walking in, you know, looking like she was in Gone with the Wind and carrying, you know, with a dress made out of curtains. And I was like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, I was definitely like an episode of Cribs or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little crazy. It's just Spug and Mace. I mean, we've seen the spoiler notes, and I said we're not going to give it away. If you want to look, onlinewillowrestling.com, go into the Genesis forum, and you can find stuff there. But to see what possibly could be going on here with these kids being on TV, I mean, it's no different. WCW had the Flair kids all over the place. You know, WWE at one point had Ricky Steamboat Jr., when he was an infant being carried around the ring. I mean, does this bother you, Spug, as a parent? I know we kind of touched on this last week, but does this bother you as a parent that if your promoter on the show you're working said, so, we want to use your daughter on the show tonight, how do you feel about this?
I don't know if I particularly care. I would prefer to keep them out simply because kids my daughter's age can't differentiate, you know, daddy's acting and daddy's being serious, so to speak. So, you know, yeah, I think young kids you keep out. If they're older, you know, they might be able to grasp it. But to be quite honest, I would prefer if they could keep the children out completely in some of these angles, because I said it last week and I'll say it again. You have no business bringing personal life into an angle. I think the whole thing that Jarrett and Vince and all those people over there are doing is just absolutely retarded. You know, that we've seen it with Edge and Matt Hardy. We've seen it with, you know, all that crap. We've seen these angles before, and it can't you do something more original, or perhaps just a little bit more entertaining?
Yeah, Mace, it's no, like I said, we've seen this before, and WWE did it with, I believe, the Runnels kid. Dakota was involved at one point. And it's just, you know, I'm all for it, but this is not Maury Povich, where you're going to have somebody walking in, you know, Russell sitting down going, okay, which, are you the baby daddy? What about you the baby daddy? I mean, is that what Russo's possibly going to be doing at some point here? I mean, in WCW, at one point, we had who got Stacey Keebler pregnant. I mean, are we going to have, you know, somebody possibly having an affair with Dixie Carter on camera, despite the rumors of one off camera all these years? And does this interest you? I mean, for fans that aren't aware of it, if you're joining us tonight for the first time, Mace and I have been fans of this product since day one. I've covered TNA Wrestling since day one in 2002. So, I mean, this isn't our TNA that we had even 2 years ago, let alone a year ago at this point, when we just had the arrival of Mr. Anderson. But, I mean, what's the bottom line here? According to, as Scott said, the ratings are there, 1.95 million viewers. Bischoff's going on radio shows and internet sites saying, yeah, there's interest here. We've got traction finally. But, I mean, how much is enough? Are we going to start turning into smut TV?
I have no idea, but that's the way it looks like it's going. With this whole Jarrett versus Angle, it just sort of puts stuff in a really bad light. Like, you could see it on the kids' faces when they did those segments. The kids seemed so out of their element, they didn't really know what they were doing. You know, so it's... And I think even one of the girls had a problem and hesitated calling Jeff Jarrett Daddy Jarrett. So, I don't know, but... You know, there are these type of angles that can be done well and actually really draw you in. Like, let's not forget Raven versus Sandman. You know, one of the best angles involving a child I've ever seen. But then again, the kid was a pretty smart kid from what we've heard. This is just being handled stupidly. I don't know how they're getting the extra viewers from this, because on the, me watching it, I fast-forward through this stuff. I haven't actually watched TNA live, like when it's been shown down here, in months, because I need to fast-forward through the stuff that I don't like anymore. Give me more wrestling. None of this Days of Our Lives crap.
Yeah, and there was plenty of that this week. We'll get to Scott's thoughts on this week's show in a moment here. But to recap it, Inc. defeated Gunnar and Murphy in a matchup. We had the Pope D'Angelo De Niro teaming with Bully Ray, taking on Samoa Joe and Brother Devon, which ended in a no contest. The second person in the triple threat match for the Sunday's pay-per-view, the number one contender match to get to Frankie the Future Kazarian, is, well, Jeremy Bucks. And you have Max Buck versus Jeremy Buck versus, well, we'll find out probably this Thursday. We did have Sarita versus Mickie James in a tape fist match. There's logic right there. Thanks for coming. With actually Rain, I believe, knocked out both ladies with the Glove of Doom. And, the shock of shocks came because we speculated about who they, version 2, are. You know, they were sent back to Microsoft because the software didn't work so well the last time. To recap it earlier in the show, and then we'll get our panel's opinion here, Immortal / Fortune came into the ring with Eric Bischoff. The man in Scott Steiner come out. Bischoff actually on camera said, despite Steiner being in TNA, Kevin Nash was told by Bischoff to take care of his family, and Booker T and Sting aren't coming back either. So that was just a little awkward to hear that on TV. And then you've got during the evening, where's Ric Flair? Where's Ric Flair? I don't know where Ric Flair is. Nobody's seen the newer Ric Flair as we do. He's backstage healing up an injury. We had Christy Hemme on the Universal Studios backlot, which looked absolutely nothing like Texas, going March 3rd is the important next date. I'm like, isn't February 3rd the important next date, guys? Sure seemed that way. And, of course, we found out they, of all people, turns out to be, stay with me because this gets fun, Kurt Angle, as we knew, Crimson, as we knew, Scott Steiner, as we knew, and Fortune. That's right. The phenomenal AJ Styles, Beer Money, and Frankie Kazarian are all magically turned babyface because Mr. Anderson asked for a straight-up match with Jeff Hardy, and he got it until we had the ref bump of doom. And it's one of those where you miss Rudy Charles because nobody can take a ref bump like Rudy back in the day. Fortune Immortal come out. Oh, let's beat him up. Let's beat him up. Now everybody's beating everybody up. And it turns into Scott. The logic they're using here is Styles is basically saying to Bischoff and Hogan that they're not going to ruin TNA like they did with WCW. So according to the storyline and interviews that Russo gave and Bischoff gave, they was christened in the idea, they, version one, was supposedly in the works since day one of Bischoff and Hogan's arrival. They're never going to admit on camera, Scott, that they, version 2.0, was conceived about 8 o'clock on Sunday during the Royal Rumble. I mean, is this a good thing to have this Fortune faction, probably minus Ric Flair, almost this Thursday he gets involved? Are we okay with all of a sudden AJ, Beer Money, and Kaz being turned face, or is this just too much for the fans to try to digest at one gulp?
I mean, yesterday, Monday Night Mayhem, they had Bischoff on, and he spoke about how this has been in the works since October. They were moving forward to this, so, you know, it depends on who you talk to or what you hear. But as far as, yeah, as far as the situation they were put in a corner. I mean, Dixie Carter apparently gave Kevin Nash his release and all that with Booker T, but they were put in this corner. And then, I mean, the best case scenario, I'd say, with this is, I mean, there is some sort of line of logic there, I say a logic with TNA, but with AJ Styles being the one to turn, I mean, AJ Styles is having some dissension with Eric Bischoff for the last couple of weeks. So he actually makes sense to have the one to be the one to turn, but the other ones, I don't know. We'll see how they explain it. Right now, it's kind of too early to tell what they're going to do or how they're going to explain this. But on the bright side, this puts AJ Styles back to the forefront. I mean, AJ Styles really has, at least from what I've seen, hopefully it will happen. But AJ Styles kind of has faded in the background when Immortal formed, and even months before that. I mean, you're looking at a guy who won the TNA championship and was at the forefront of, and that for those couple of months, he became, you know, he was number one in the PWI 500. So that shows you something right there. The only TNA wrestler to ever have that happen to him. He is known kind of as the franchise of TNA, the face of TNA. So, I think he should be in the forefront, and this gives him the opportunity to do so. So that's good. And Beer Money turning them face. I mean, they've been healed for a while. The fans really get behind them when they do the Beer Money thing. The fans, you know, get behind them with that. So the problem is now with how does Scott Steiner fit in and Crimson and Kurt Angle. So we'll see how this faction now. The odds kind of like aren't even right now as it relates now with what do you do with Immortal. So it's too early to tell as far as if it's a good idea. But right now, you know, keeping the homegrown talent, you know, putting them over, giving them some sort of spotlight, yeah, I'm all for that. So if they will do that and give them the spotlight and this, you know, turns into something, then I would say I agree with the direction that they're going.
This almost feels like, Mace, the Millionaires Club versus the New Blood from WCW, and Russo and Bischoff ended up working together. Or am I reading this wrong? Is this idea a good thing of these guys going, you know, we're taking back our company. We've been here since day one. You're new, and your ideas suck and you need to put shoe polish back on your hair.
Start looking into some new tea leaves, Alan, definitely. Comparing this new breed, well, Millionaires Club, new breed, whatever the hell that angle was back then, you know, maybe going a bit too far, but as it's been said, you know, we're hoping that Fortune can at least get put into the spotlight. And I did say that last Sunday night on WrestleTalk Radio. But at this point in time, now that you've read out the list of who's in this new group, I've just got this really bad feeling that Fortune's going to be sitting in the background once again, which is a real shame because these guys deserve to be the real spotlight. You know, having guys like Anderson and Angle being what will probably end up being the figureheads of the group isn't going to do anything for the homegrown guys who should be the spotlight.
It almost will feel like the WCW invasion angle where it was like, you know, we got to Survivor Series 01 and Team Alliance was four WWE guys and Booker T, and you're going, so where's like the Alliance here, man? Does this have traction, Scott, to at least get to lockdown, or is this possibly an angle that can run past the April date that's set for Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to set up factions here, so this is one way to do it, a quick way of doing it. I don't know if it'll, you know, keep the people's attention for this amount of time. I mean, now, one thing I want to say about TNA, though, is their promotion of pay-per-views. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, they have a pay-per-view coming up this Sunday, which is the day before Valentine's Day. They promoted this past week's edition of Impact, and now they're promoting the March 3rd. These are TV shows that people aren't even paying for to watch. I know you got to concentrate on your TV shows, but there's also the pay-per-view by the buyer. What makes me want to buy the pay-per-view? That's where you get money from. I mean, no one's paying to go to the Impact Zone. So this is what they need to focus on, I mean, promoting of their pay-per-view. I mean, what is there, four matches maybe promoted for this show, or it, and we're only a couple of days away? I mean, WWE has the luxury where they have the established talent or established brand where they can do that, but I think TNA, they need to really look at that in promoting their pay-per-views. That's one thing I think they need to work on.
Now, well, here's what's set up at the moment. We do have Samoa Joe taking on the Pope D'Angelo De Niro. Two-thirds of the number one contender match is locked. It is Generation Me versus whomever wins this Thursday, I believe. Robbie E is in a match with, I'm blanking on who it is, so I apologize. Welcome back to the Gimmick Fest that is TNA Wrestling, a street fight match between Bully Ray and Brother Devon, and a last knockout standing bout between the current champion, Madison Rayne, and the person who many feel should be the champion already, now would be Mickie James. So as Scott said, Mason, we've got maybe four matches, including one that's not even announced yet. Kazarian, from what was seemed to be when he was doing commentary, isn't even competing it against all odds. Nothing is set up yet for your World Tag Team Champions and Beer Money. Nothing is set up for Mr. Anderson. It's amazing. WWE, who we'll talk about after the break, half their pay-per-view for the Chamber is, you know, they're 3 weeks difference between their last pay-per-view and next Sunday, and they're doing way better. I mean, is this just what we feel, like Scott said, they're going, you know what, screw the pay-per-view, let's focus on the ratings and, you know, Spike TV's good. And is this something that we make, I can't believe I'm about to say that TNA may be going, you know what, pay-per-view sucks, let's just stick to TV for a while?
Not so much. If you take a look at the history of TNA booking it, they've always been the company that always waits until the very last second to promote their card. You know, literally at the 11th hour is when you will find a full card for one of their pay-per-views. They usually wait until they're done with TV, which would be this week. So, I don't know, if we were doing the show on a Friday, then we'd probably be looking at a bigger card than we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, but do we really need to see, again, Bully Ray versus Brother D-Bomb? And we weren't exactly fans of it the last time, and now it's street fight rules, which is pretty almost akin to Full Metal Mayhem or anything else you've seen. And is this the blow off we hope, and then let Bully Ray go off and do whatever Bully Ray is going to do? Because he seemed, from backstage news we've heard, he seems to be really enjoying this character, and this is something that he's wanted to do for a while.
I personally wish that they had buried this when it started. I have not enjoyed this at all, nor do I care about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same company, Scott, that, you know, we were talking about involving the Jarrett children this past Thursday on Impact. Ray got into the face of Devin Hughes' two teenage boys. I mean, granted, they're teenagers and they probably have known Ray for their most of their entire lives, but it's just, okay, so what, are we going to start having Team 3D version 2 in the ring here?
Well, first, you also had the Pope involved, you know, with his fake brother involved in a storyline. But I think in this case, it was an older, they're older, you know, older kids. So in this case, maybe we'll cut him a little bit of slack.
Yeah. We'll leave TNA with this note, and that if you visit TNAWrestling.com right now, and this will blend into our next subject matter when we come back from the break, there's a certain someone who's missing from the website. Yeah, that guy. Sting's profile was taken down from TNAWrestling.com, which leads to, as I said after the break, we'll get into it fully, but, you know, what's the vibe that you're thinking here, Scott? I mean, is this them saying, yeah, WWE got us, they got Sting, and we're going to help them make you think that? Or is this them just taking his thing down for a little while, waiting till 2/21/11 passes, and them going, ha, 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 we fooled you. Sting's here over here with us. There he is.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the direction they're going to. I mean, there were supposedly reports came out today about how he was close to signing with TNA, so it depends on the day, I guess, whether he signs with WWE, whether he signs with TNA, or he just, you know, retires in general. But for all, you know, if you listen to what today said, he's re-signing with TNA, so it could in fact be they're just taking it down and then they're going to bring it back right after just to screw with people.
Yeah, I also found out Suicide is also in that match this Thursday night, and as we outlined last week, that would happen to be the former X Division champ, former tag champ. That is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, under there. Sorry, we just took the fourth wall and just threw it out the window there. So I believe it's Robbie E, Suicide, possibly Brian Kendrick. I don't know if the Jedi Master is going to put down the bong enough time to get involved there. But before we go, Mace, so follow up, please, on what Scott said. Do you think this is smoke and mirrors on TNA? Or do we really think, you know, this is it, and what we've been prophesizing is it?
I reckon it could be TNA playing smoke and mirrors, another way to attract people to not only their website to double-check to make sure Sting is gone, but also people to tune in around the time of the 21st. You know, if suddenly he doesn't show up on WWE TV, will he show up on TNA? It's them trying to spin it back towards themselves, which is a good move.
Nick Paglino of WrestleZone.com, one of our friend's sites, at least my friend, posted something that F4W Online is reporting that TNA officials are under the belief that Sting is very close to signing a new deal to return to the company, even though his profile was removed from the TNA website, as reported over the weekend. At last word, Sting has not, in big letters, been contacted by WWE officials, and there has apparently been no discussion between both sides concerning an appearance by Sting at WrestleMania. We've speculated last week on this, and we'll definitely do it in the next segment. Can be a lot of smoke and mirrors, as we said, and we'll address all that on the other side of this break. Scott will stay with us, as said, barring a scheduling issue. Wildcat Chris Harris will be joining us during the 10 o'clock hour. We'll also get into some MMA with our residents from Tap Out to Knockout. So a lot of fun before the announcement of, that's right, I won! I won two WTR awards. We did. We won for interviewing the king of old school, Steve Corino, and his mom. Got to give mom props for showing up for that interview out of the blue. And I won for hanging up on people. Isn't that crazy? I won for hanging up a phone. But if I didn't hang up the phone, I wouldn't be sitting here with you guys. The music tonight is provided by the one and only people who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They should have their own wing. Kiss is the soundtrack for the night. We'll be back on All That World of Wrestling Radio.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's worth away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling authors today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Candice LaSalle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van Der Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online world of wrestling.
www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today. This is Mace, the self-proclaimed favorite Aussie of the Wild Talk Radio Network, telling you to come step in the ring with me and the rest of the Wild Talk Radio crew every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And if you don't, we'll make Will come over there and drink all the alcohol.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. Suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. I mean, stayed with her every night. Constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Hey, this is
Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to My World of Wrestling Radio here on a Kiss night. Yes, that was Heavens on Fire, which was from the non-makeup era of Kiss. As a kid growing up in MTV, all of a sudden they were like, okay, look, wearing makeup. Oh, crap, they're not. Quick, put the makeup back on, two of you guys. You're scary looking. We also know what happened on WCW when they showed up and gave the lowest rating in Monday Night history. Don't worry, we'll definitely be talking WCW as we get closer and closer to the 10th anniversary. I can't believe that. 10 years ago. Coming soon is the demise of World Championship Wrestling. As I said, always the number 267-297-1397. Skype's still rocking. You can join us in our interactive chat room. The email address, radio@allmyworldofwrestling.com. And always, the home site is allmyworldofwrestling.com. The show can be downloaded through the iTunes store. It can also be found at Click Wrestle and also on the other home site for this network, which is wildtalkradio.com. I've plugged enough stuff. Mace is still with us here. Scott Fishman, a contributor to the Miami Herald, is here as well. And we will delve once again into the wonderful world of World Wrestling Entertainment. Still nobody else for the Hall of Fame. Shame, shame. Still nobody else added to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which is fine. We have a sad note to report, though. A few months back, we had involving the Cauliflower Alley Club, which we'll address in a later date this year's event. Former WWE manager, former Florida Championship Wrestling Florida manager, Sir Oliver Humperdinck, was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor on his kidney, is currently hospitalized while doctors determine the best course of his treatment. So keep him in your thoughts. We had a lot of fun having Sir Oliver on the show. Before we get actually into Monday Night Raw, apparently, if you were at the live event last night in Green Bay, not Green Bay, Milwaukee, and as R-Truth found out, don't call it Green Bay, because you'll get turned into a heel real quick in that town.
And have Michael Cole rip you to shreds for the rest of your match and make it really annoying.
Oh, God, we'll address the idiocy that is Michael Cole. I'm suddenly sitting here, Scott, going, can I get Mike Adamley out of the drunk tank and put him on TV again? I mean, for someone who's new to the show, we've Michael Cole bashed for months with this, I'm a heel announcer. I'm not a heel, you know, color commentator. I'm a heel announcer. How do your friends and the people you work with, I know we've had Jim Barcelona on who's given his feelings on, but take us through your friends, set, people you talk to on a daily basis, and yourself. Does this thing have legs? I mean, is Mania where it dies, where Cole gets what he deserves from Jerry Lawler, or are we stuck with Michael Cole until the end of time?
I don't know. I mean, Vince McMahon seems to like it. I mean, the last time, I mean, in doses, I think Michael Cole, like, I think in that case with the R-Truth thing, I actually wasn't, you know, that annoyed, more annoyed than, I mean, less annoyed than I normally am when it comes to Michael Cole commentary. So in that case, I think I was okay with it. But yeah, overall, it's kind of over the top, especially when the Miz is in the ring and when Divas are in the ring. And then if you were one of the two people that watched the NXT 3 with the Divas, that was also over the top. Most of my friends, they pretty much would appreciate if the TV was on mute most of the time. So I hope this doesn't lead to Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler at the pay-per-view. Maybe in a referee-type situation, they'll put Michael Cole in that type of scenario, but he's a wrestling announcer. Right? I mean, I remember guys like, Bobby Heenan, so many announcers who were heels, and, I mean, not play-by-play guys, but they didn't blatantly bash the guys in the ring, and that's what they're doing here. You're supposed to build them up, but also, you know, you want to make people want to watch these guys. You don't want to bash me like, oh, why am I watching these guys? If they're, you know, they're not, they're even insulting, and they work for the company.
Yeah, I mean, we found out Mason. He's almost got like a split personality, because at one point he's sitting there with Lawler and telling Lawler this, that, the other thing, and your time is over and how you're getting involved in here. And then the next minute they're all buddy-buddy. And then Natty Neidhart sits down to do commentary on a six-girl match that if you blinked it was over, and he's crapping all over Natty, and then Natty leaves and then he comes right back. And you know, it's like, oh, wait, the Miz is here. Cool, the Miz is here. And then, oh, now I'm happy because, you know, I'm... I was like, can we just get this guy on some Prozac or lithium or Zoloft already?
Personally, and it's just ridiculous. End of a shotgun, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, bad yeah. enough we're dealing with him on two different programs. And if you watch SmackDown, you saw Drew McIntyre defeat Kofi Kingston, Rey Mysterio defeated Jack Swagger, Kane defeated Chavo Guerrero, Wade Barrett defeated the Big Show. We had the tag champs fall in the non-title affair to Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel of The Core. And Kelly get fired, in quotes, by Vicky Guerrero after Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler lost to Edge. And that's your SmackDown Elimination Chamber, kids. The world champ is in the SmackDown Elimination Chamber. And before we get to Monday Night Raw, a note came out of a live event in Toronto this past few days that Edge actually gave hints to retirement. Said to the live crowd, quote, to be perfectly honest, I don't know how many times I'll be able to do this in my hometown anymore. The champion said as the crowd booed in disapproval, Edge said that in a perfect world, he would have his retirement match in Toronto, hopefully at WrestleMania. Sporting a Maple Leafs jersey, that's Toronto Maple Leafs hockey, if you're unfamiliar with it. Ed said he only has a couple of these visits left in him, and ended his speech by starting the crowd in a Go Leafs Go chant. So, I mean, does this bother either one of you that we've had this kind of thing happen before where guys are going, it's my last time in this town, but I've got all these other towns to go to? I mean... So, Scott, I mean, does this surprise you to hear someone of Edge? I mean, he hasn't even hit 40, I believe, on the clock, and he's possibly looking to exit out. I mean, he's done a couple movie roles for WWE. Is he looking at the success The Rock's had and what somewhat success John Cena's had and saying, so, yeah, Hollywood looks like a good place to go now?
Well, I mean, I don't think a wrestler ever retires, as you guys know that, but... as far as Edge is concerned, I mean, he's pretty much done everything that he can as far as a wrestler. And from that standpoint, I know he's talked in interviews about wanting to retire. So that wasn't a surprise to me when he did that in Toronto. And if WrestleMania is going to be in Toronto next year, I mean, that could be a hint sort of thing. But yeah, so soon to start, you know, start the gears shifting towards that, I don't know. But I can see Edge doing, you know, like an agent type thing and then, you know, here and there doing something. But I don't see him at any other standpoint, you know, branching out like a Jericho or like a Rock for some reason. I don't see him in that type of role, I should say.
We found out, do you have thoughts on this, Mace, or shall we move past the Edge?
Move on.
Hey, everybody's been wondering why Booker T is back. Well, not only is he going to be sitting a commentary on Friday Night SmackDown, he is going to be one of the trainers on WWE Tough Enough, Volume 5. So you're going to have a ready former world champion and graduate of the Chris Adams School of Wrestling out of the Sportatorium in Dallas, Texas, Stone Cold Steve Austin involved in other forms or fashion. But Booker T is going to be involved. More trainers are expected to be announced every week. And they'll have different WWE superstars show up like they did before. I believe they're going to be sequestered somewhere in California. And for fans that may be going, Booker T, trainer? Yeah, he's got a real nice training academy in Texas that Stevie Ray helps out with. We also found out Kevin Nash revealed in his latest blog that it's important for him to end his career where he began. WCW? Oh, sorry, wrong place. And his wife took, quote, 2 seconds to agree with him, giving him the blessing to rejoin World Wrestling Entertainment. Said, I don't know how many of you have seen Vanilla Sky, which is a movie that Tom Cruise and Penelope Cruz did, which is a remake of a film, but this isn't movie time. He said, don't know if Austin was real or lucid dream. When they chanted Diesel, it sure as hell felt real for me. The man who is known as Diesel, again, actually thanked Jeff Jarrett and Dixie Carter for allowing him to compete in TNA Wrestling and wished them continued success. Quote, my true friends at TNA text and called with their love and support within hours. Don't think it'll ever be forgotten. The former WCW, WWE champion finished off saying he didn't realize how much he missed Diesel. So, to Scott, we haven't seen him since. And we had the little stare down for Royal Rumble with Show and Nash. Do we just give him a Legends contract and he's gone? Or if you've got the pencil and you're in Stephanie Levesque's office, do you say, you know, we could use him at Mania. Well, let him introduce Shawn Michaels at the Hall of Fame and, you know, he's putting Big Show in a, you know, hunky-funky thing fighting a sumo guy or fighting a boxer had no business being there.
Yeah, I mean, with Nash, I mean, I think he with bringing him back as Diesel, I mean, you can't just bring him back for one night with the fans, you know, reacting so positively like they have. I know I had a chance to talk to him last year, like in October or November or so, and he talked about maybe having one more match with The Undertaker, maybe like a rematch for WrestleMania 12. But he also talked about recently working that he wanted to work with maybe Wade Barrett as someone that he looks at as someone that he would like to work with. So that's another option they could go. It would be good if it's someone, you know, a younger guy, not someone that doesn't need it, you know, someone that you put over maybe.
Now, we found out WWE got something wrong. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, my God. We've seen all their great segments. Did you know? But usually are the bumpers coming back from commercials. This came from a couple sources, so thanks. Recent WWE Did You Know said that more people went to WWE live events than a combination of the Super Bowl, the NBA playoffs, and a few other events. Now, WWE runs 300 events per year worldwide, Raw, SmackDown. Now, our friends on these sites, I believe Lords of Pain is one of them, and I believe WrestleZone as well, did some research here. And actually, the average attendance of a WWE live event in 2010 was lower than that of, I can't believe I'm about to say this, the WNBA and MLS, which is Major League Soccer. On a per-event basis, WWE was behind the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, WNBA, the United Football League, and Pacific Coast League Minor League Baseball. Based on the same criteria, WWE is only slightly ahead of the AHL and MLL, which is Major League Lacrosse. So, Mace, did you know WWE is full of crap? Can we have that as a bumper somewhere? Maybe on the
show. I believe I pointed out once before that WWE were full of crap with their video game sales results. You know, they put themselves over most major titles, which, mind you, they didn't put in things like World of Warcraft nor Modern Warfare, which are the two highest selling games ever. But, you know, yet again, they're doing what's known as fact stacking. You know, it's like me saying something, you know, about the Asian community, and I get those facts from a primarily Asian area, as opposed to doing a, you know, statewide or even a city side type of result. You know, this is what WWE is doing. They're trying to make themselves look bigger by skewing results, which is pretty stupid and makes them look like idiots.
Yeah. It's one of those amazing things, and it just blows my mind to see companies do this kind of stuff. We had a few fans send us some stuff, and Mace found this as well, so thanks to everybody for contributing this. If you're in our chat room, watch your Ustream box or whatever is in the corner there. We found out that at last night's Monday Night Raw, during the commercial break, the live audience in Milwaukee were treated to, well, I'll let the video explain it. Enjoy.
Yo, John Cena, but it's 2011, and no matter what you do or say, nobody wants to hear it here in Green Bay. You can't hear me?
Chicago.
CM Punk defeated John Cena by a DQ with a tribute to the Nature Boy Ric Flair with an awesome blatant low blow. We had a surprise appearance by Mr. McMahon, who came out Scott and goes, "All right, so I'm going to announce the guest host for WrestleMania next week." There's been rumors and speculations, Scott, that this is pop superstar. It's weird to say that about a 16-year-old. Justin Bieber, does this like freak you out as a wrestling fan going, the kid, Bieber?
But before Scott answers, I gotta say this. Ozzy put it so perfectly during his commercial during the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
What's a Bieber?
Exactly. I mean, if this is true, why? Are you really counting on 14, 15-year-old girls are going to tell mommy and daddy drop 50 some odd bucks so I can see Bieber do two segments on a four-hour pay-per-view?
Yeah, I mean, this is the audience that WWE is going for nowadays, is that demographic. I mean, look at the fans of John Cena. It's kind of the same sort of demographic. I mean, and then it could go the other way with Bob Barker, maybe, you know, for the senior citizens. So maybe they'll have one of each.
This just seems weird. I mean, my 8-year-old daughter, the kids in her school go crazy. Meh, whatever. She's been hanging around this WTR group a lot. She's sitting there like Mason Spud going, meh, whatever. We had blood on Monday Night Raw last night. That's right, real live blood. It wasn't a pop a capsule or anything. It was Randy Orton popping a snot out of CM Punk's face. I couldn't tell from if it was a busted nose, if he got popped in the chops. I mean, pretty amazing, Mace, that all of a sudden the PC police didn't hit the ring going, whoa, 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 blood, no, stop.
No, it actually turned out they did mention later in the show that it was a busted nose that Punk received. But, yeah, I was with you. I'm sitting there going, wow, okay, quick, stop the show, there's blood, stop the show. You know, maybe this could be a small sign that, well, at least inadvertent spillage of blood they're willing to let go, as opposed to previous times where they've had somebody get clipped in the head by a ring step or something and get a small cut and they stop an entire match on pay-per-view for it. Remember that, Christian?
Mm-hmm, or Jack Swagger, a recent memory as well. The Nexus attacked Orton during this whole setup, and our ever-popular anonymous Raw GM set up matches with the Nexus 2.0, taking on the people that are involved in the chamber. So you had Baby Batista, as my friends here in Florida call him, Mason Ryan, defeating R-Truth. And as we said, it was Milwaukee. But he didn't defeat him because he wouldn't stop. So the ref said, no, you lose your victory. Sorry, Mason Ryan. Go away. Thanks for coming. Goodbye. Zawa and Eddie Neidhart did sit at ringside with Michael Cole and battled pretty well with him. I wouldn't mind seeing Natty smack this guy around. I mean, he's gone after her weight and everything, and as someone who has met Natty on several occasions, back off, dude. She could break, you know, anyone in half. And it's just, why? We had John Morrison defeat Michael McGillicuddy, but CM Punk, after already having R-Truth taken out by a knee injury, possibly, you had Punk come out with an aerosol can, possibly a Divas can, who knows, could be, couldn't be. Crap, right into the eyes, scandalous. We had Jerry the King Lawler and Daniel Bryan after a pretty good promo battle between Lawler and The Miz. Defeat The Miz and Ted DiBiase Jr. We had Alberto Del Rio defeat Santino Marella, which was another interesting one as well. We were supposed to have King Sheamus take on David Otunga. However, that never happened because Josh Matthews and Punk and everybody, he said he should have your spot in the chamber, Sheamus. And, of course, Sheamus doing his great accents and, oh, I deserve it, da-da-da, whoever. We had, once again, Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero invade WWE TV. I mean, why? So, Scott, wouldn't this have worked better for, maybe next week's TV? Have Punk and pals knocking guys out the Monday before the chamber as opposed to 2 weeks before the chamber? I mean, did we get the wrong script on Monday Night Raw and it was supposed to be delivered to the next town?
Well, no, that next week's going to be the traditional tag team match between all the guys that are under match, so I think that's to come next week. But on the CM Punk, the blood angle, I think that was more of an isolated incident with a broken nose. I think they realized what an image that was, how much more impactful that was to see CM Punk with a bloody nose after Randy Orton, just to add more intensity and to show what this chamber, you know, could be. We'll see if there's any blood in the chamber match itself, but maybe a little preview of that to come. But yeah, I think, maybe logically, I mean, why would you take out guys that give them so much time to recuperate? That would have worked for next week, but I think we're going to see a tag team match next week with all the guys in the chamber match, which WWE usually does.
And overall, Mace, decent Monday Night Raw, bad Monday Night Raw, good Monday Night Raw, meh Monday Night Raw? What are your thoughts on this whole show?
Well, it was all right for what it was. Not quite meh, not quite good. It was just raw, in my opinion. I don't know. They seem to slow down after a pay-per-view, and over the next 2 weeks will be when we start to see them build up leading up to the chamber a lot more. But, yeah, as for, like, what Scott was saying about, you know, things might be changing in the Elimination Chamber, I doubt it. I really doubt it. We're going to have another PG Elimination Chamber, and it's going to suck.
For fans that aren't aware of it, you can go to MiamiHerald.com and read some of the great interviews that Scott has done in the last 2 weeks. Anybody on the pipe coming up that you want to mention before we go to break?
There's some things that could fall through, but right now I'm working on something with Tracy Brooks, who's scheduled to appear down here at the Mardi Gras Casino. Howard Brody's been doing, bringing in guys every month, I should say, for pay-per-views. So this one, they're doing Tracy Brooks. So we'll see if that follows through. But if it is, it'll be up on the site probably next week or so.
All right. As we said, you can go to MiamiHerald.com to check all that fun stuff out. Coming up after the break, he will be with us, former TNA superstar, short stint in World Wrestling Entertainment, and he'll be a part of March 5th Best of the Best in Orlando, Florida. Wildcat Chris Harris will be making his way to All My World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back after this commercial break on Kiss Night.
looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forum. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official E-set of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forum, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, this is the king of old school, Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Carino, and if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people, because you're listening to the Online World of Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcicki.
Welcome back to the second hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio. Our phone number, as always, is 267-297-1397. If you are part of the Skype network, you can add Sir Rockin, that is two words, and you can be on the show with Mace from Wrestle Talk Radio, Bashing the Books, and other items that we'll address in a few moments. Spug may or may not be back. He's dealing with some household issues. From now till March 5th, you're going to be hearing some different folks than you normally would hear on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. We're going to keep continuing with the WrestleMania memory stuff. Possibly next week we have a guest lined up. But we're going to take a differential here and start talking with folks who are going to be involved in the biggest event in All Stars Wrestling of Florida history. It is Saturday, March 5th, 2011. The Orlando National Guard Armory is the place to go. ASWFlorida.com is the address online. Many stars are already signed for this event. A lot of the ASW crew is involved. TNA star Jesse Neal is involved. TNA star Jay Lethal. Former TNA knockout Tracy Brooks. Christina Von Erie is involved as well. The former World Tag Team Champions, the Heartbreak Express are involved, the former NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies were supposed to be involved due to injury, they're not. And our guest at this time is going to be a part of this event in some form or fashion. We haven't been told yet what's going on because we're a month away. But you've known him if you were a fan of TNA wrestling going back literally to night one in Huntsville, Alabama. He was a TNA original. He is a multi-time, and I mean multi-time, NWA World Tag Team Champion. He had a stint in WWE with the infamous name of Braden Walker. But he is your friend and mine. Wildcat Chris Harris is joining us here. Welcome to All In World of Wrestling Radio, and thank you for taking time to be a part of the show tonight.
Hey man, I just want to be a part of it.
When you relocated here to Florida a few months ago, did you expect the Cincinnati / Kentucky weather to follow you? Were you suddenly sitting there going, "What the hell is going on here? And can I relocate back up north?"
I was ready for the weather, but was not ready for everything that was going on down here, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, for fans that aren't aware of it, you have been out of the TV limelight for a while, but no matter where you go, what you do, you're going to be known as a TNA original. Take us back to, for fans that aren't aware of it, I know it from having lived in Nashville at the time. Take us through the night that you and James Storm auditioned for TNA Wrestling. Folks that were at the Legends Fest, I believe it was, that Burt Prentice put on. Take us through that. Did you have any clue when you and James went to the ring that this was going to turn into your audition and eventually getting the job?
No, bro. We had no idea, man. We went out and we were out there just to perform for the best crowd we could and had no idea that TNA scouts, if that's what you call them, they were looking on, and it turned out to be great for us. I mean, we just went out to have the best match we could, and when we got back, you know, we had Jeff and Don West and all kinds of people telling us that they'd be in touch. So it was great.
Now, for fans that are aware of it, you can go, I believe it's still available on certain sites. You can go to TNAWrestling.com, I believe, and buy the Best of America's Most Wanted. That match is actually on the Best of America's Most Wanted DVD, and I believe a cowboy boot or Burt Prentice's shoe got involved. For fans, take fans through the process that they've never seen any of the interviews that you and I have done. And you can still go to AlanWojcik.com and look that up. How soon after that were you and James contacted and said, be in Huntsville, Alabama on this date, we'll tell you about stuff then? Or was there any talk that night? How did you end up actually signing with Trifecta Entertainment, NWA, TNA?
Well, it was the night we did the tryout match. we talked to Jeff and a couple other guys, and we got booked on the first pay-per-view. And the first pay-per-view in Huntsville, we got booked on that, and I think maybe a week or two after that, we got booked in a tag team together. And I thought it was it after that. I mean, we teamed up and the first time and never looked back.
Did it work well originally because you two had competed against each other in Nashville on and off working for USA Championship Wrestling and other promotions? Or was there a mind set in your mind of, I don't know about you, Storm, but I really don't want to do this tag team thing? Or did you say, look, I'm happy I got the job, let's get it on?
Well, hell no, it didn't work together.
Well, we know that a few years later, but hey.
No, we never had any animosity together, but when they put us together, we would obviously prefer to be single stars, and with a big company coming up like TNA, we thought that was possible. But when they put us together, we looked at like, you know, hey, you know, this is our chance. And, you know, and I don't know if you remember back then, but there was a lot of singles guys being brought in, like from WCW, WWE, and not a whole lot of tag team guys. And so they just kind of threw us together. And they were like, hey, we'll see what happens with these guys. And
nope.
And Storm and I looked at it like, you know, hey, we're going to prove them wrong. You know, we're going to make something of this.
Yeah. For fans that aren't aware of it, around this time 10 years ago, you worked somewhere else. How did you even get, was it working for Burke that you got your WCW developmental deal? And if you can, take us through that process from how different it may have been from what you experienced with TNA or later on when you went to WWE. Who approaches you from WCW that saw your tapes and said, this is what we're doing, we've got this thing going, we'd like you to be a part of it?
Well, I had something going on in Cincinnati, and if you really want to go back, it was me and Abyss. We had some really good shows going on in Cincinnati, and we got hooked up with a guy in Kentucky who knew a guy in Nashville who knew a guy named Bert Prentice. So it's weird how the whole thing hooked up, but basically Bert saw a tape and offered us a spot down there because he was doing some TV down there, and me and another guy, we went down there, and you know, it went good for his TV, and then Bert hooked us up with Terry Taylor, who was working for WCW at the time, and got us a tryout there, and after that a contract, and worked out from there.
Now, with WCW, there's been word floating around that you appeared on WCW pay-per-view as a fake Sting.
One,
any truth to this? And if so, did you have any hesitation about being put in the role of a fake Sting, given the guy's sort of icon status in the wrestling industry?
Well, first off, I'm the real Sting.
So you're the guy that's debuting on 2/21/11. Awesome.
Exactly. No, of course not. I had no problem at all. I mean, at that point, you know, Sting he was an idol to me. So to do anything with him or to even be made to look like him was huge. So it's even better now, actually, because him and I actually we get along, we talk, you know, we hang out. So but at that point it was huge.
Now, do you remember what pay-per-view that was on? Because I've got a very extensive WCW pay-per-view collection. I wouldn't mind going to see if I can pick you out.
Oh, God. He's the guy in the paint.
I know the...
Which one?
The one everybody talks about is Halloween Havoc 2000. Or, actually, it might have been... 2000. Halloween Havoc 2000.
I'll go look that up after the show.
What did you think when you were established in TNA and he made the one spot appearances where he came in Nashville once and he came in a second time and then I believe it was around 05, all of a sudden he's back full time. Were you like a lot of the folks in the locker room, like AJ Styles, who grew up watching him going, holy crap, I possibly can lock up in a ring with him. I mean, you did it in lockdown 2006. I'm sitting there in my seat all of a sudden going, okay, wait a minute, Chris, Sting, Chris, H, holy crap, look at all this stuff.
No, I pretty much kept my distance, to be honest with you. It wasn't until I got comfortable with him to where I had told him what happened from like 10 years ago.
He is Wildcat Chris Harris. Phone number is 267-297-1397. You can Skype Sir Rockin' if you wish to join us here. Don't be afraid. He's not the heel that he once was in TNA Wrestling Tonight. He is the babyface. At least we think he is. Still one of the most played YouTube items and probably on the TNA On Demand site is the 3D funeral. Now, I know it from hearing it from both you and James, some of the fun stuff that went on during many of the takes there. But give the fans this bit of the story. The way the bit ended, if fans don't remember it, is James walks up to the casket towards the end and decides to use it as a bathroom stall. But what happened to James during one of the takes? And give some highlights of just the amusing stuff that went on that day at the funeral home.
Oh, God, I could go on so long. First off, there was no ideas of the beer. That was a last-minute thing. Honestly, that was because me and Storm wanted a drink while we were there. and they put that in the take. I remember the hockey sticks were a last-minute deal.
Could you please give Abyss a tissue? Was that a part of the original plan too?
No, bro, not at all. That was last minute. In fact, that was because me and Abyss were so close. I said something about including him into the whole thing, and I was trying to figure out how we could put a monster into the whole thing, and. I think it was me, him, and Mitchell, James Mitchell, that threw that idea out, and so I did it, and they took it on like take one.
Now, were you guys apprehensive when that went on? Because throughout the whole Nashville weekly pay-per-view thing, you guys were super baby faces and took out Triple X in the first cage match in the promotion. Was there any apprehension when they said, okay, we're going to align you two with Jeff Jarrett and eventually add Gail Kim to the mix? Was that something you were going like, yes, cool, I want to sink my teeth into being a heel, or were you looking at Storm going, I don't know about this, dude?
Oh, no, bro, we were ready. Because we've been good guys for so long, and whatever you want to call them, Team 3D, Team the Dudleys, basically, when they came and they were going to put us with them, we knew that it was time. And Gail being with us and I guess being aligned with Jeff, too, I mean, because he was the biggest heel, but putting us as a group was the best thing we could have done. Because I think that Jeff's heat helped us out, and then plus us being the good guys we were helped Jeff get more heat. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that was all done, I believe, at a Border City Wrestling event that Scott D'Amore had. The title change and everything went down. What was that atmosphere like to do it? And would you guys would have rather have done it on a TNA pay-per-view in the Impact Zone? Or was it just, okay, let's get it over with and we'll see how this live audience pops for it. And if it bombs, we won't do it on TV. Was there a feeling like that through the office?
There might have been a feeling like that with me and Storm, but you know, we may have preferred to do it on TV, but I think at that time they were looking to do something different. They were looking to do something to shock everybody
where it wasn't on TV. And that was their idea. They were going to do a title change, and they were going to do a turn like that with us. And, you know, it worked. I mean, it was all good.
You're remembered not only for that situation, but you guys, as mentioned, you were a part of the original cage match in the Asylum, which I miss the Asylum, miss those days. A lot of fun to watch that building with Triple X. And then you guys brought that feud almost a year later to Orlando and had Elix Skipper do the most crazy thing I've ever seen in a live event. Take fans through that process, especially the transition from four sides to six sides, because when it went from six sides back to four, once Russo and Bischoff and everybody, Bischoff Hogan came in, they were like, oh, all the talent hates the six-sided thing. What was the initial reaction? Go back, take us through the cage match situation, and what is it harder to work the six-sided cage or the four-sided cage?
Well, as a competitor, the six sides is definitely harder because it's hard to explain, but the sides are tighter, so if you get rammed into it, then it's much harder. Other than that,
You're dealing with, for the longest while, almost since day one, it was Vince Russo, and early on it was Jerry Jarrett doing the writing. And then you had the influx of someone we had on the show a few months back, which was Jim Cornette, and you had Dutch Mantell there involved. Who was the person that the majority of the time that handled America's Most Wanted angles, especially once we moved from Nashville to Orlando and you guys went full out heel? Was there a particular producer, road agent you guys liked to work with, or was it just they picked it for you and that's who you were with?
At the time, I'm pretty sure it was still Vince. Vince Russo did a lot of that. And I think Scott D'Amore did a lot of it, which I talked to him a lot about it. And, you know, he was the one I talked to about with us turning heel. And I can't remember how much longer he lasted, but, you know, obviously he's not there anymore. But I'm pretty sure he was there at the time, like during the whole heyday. And I know he was a big influence on me actually agreeing to turn.
Yeah. Mace has been having a lot of fun while I've been asking questions. He's been hitting all that world of wrestling.com, and he found an interesting match he wanted to bring up during the 2005 year. You've been wanting to ask it, so go right ahead, because I'm actually interested to hear this story.
Yeah, this is very interesting to sort of read down the list. At one point, you actually worked Vince Russo's Glory Wrestling. Now, from what I've understood of the promotion, it was a very religious-based federation. Any elaboration on that, or is my experience completely wrong?
No, you're right, bro. That was something that Vince was doing, and he brought me and several other guys down there to I believe it was Atlanta. But it was a great show, and we all had a great time, and it was a really good experience. But it was really cool. It was a really cool experience, and I would love to do something like that again.
And speaking of interesting experiences, another one I want to bring up was from USA Championship Wrestling. You actually got to go up against the one and only Jerry the King Lawler at one point. What was it like doing that type of match?
You were under TNA contract at that point, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. It was a great experience to be in the ring with Jerry.
was not one of my greatest moments. Certainly wasn't the best match, if you could say that. But I like Jerry, and I've always gotten along with him. But it was not one of my best moments.
Now, for fans that aren't aware of it, you've got an extensive background, as we said, with TNA Wrestling, and we could go hours on a time here. But you've been a part of the two marquee matches that the promotion has had over the years, namely the Six Sides of Steel or the original Steel Cage match. And you've been a part of, I believe, two King of the Mountain matches in your career. What's harder to prepare for mentally and physically? The King of the Mountain, or being in either Six Sides of Steel or Four Sides of Steel?
Oh, God, man. I think they're both pretty hard to prepare for. It's two different things. The King of the Mountain is very hard to prepare for because you have so many guys to get ready for and to prepare for, and you're on your own. I mean, you have to prepare for yourself. The Six Sides of Steel, that was, Storm and I had to do that together. So it's two totally different ways of looking at it, but it's much better having a partner on your side.
Now, your second King of the Mountain, I was in the building for, and that would be Slammiversary 07. Originally, you were slotted for a tag match to open the show. Take fans through that day, because I remember being there, and it was very weird, because it was right after Jill Jarrett had passed away, and Jeff was supposed to be in King of the Mountain. Take fans through that day that may have not seen the pay-per-view and the emotion that you went through and the TNA roster went through that day.
Oh, God, it's really hard to take fans through exactly what I went through because we were on house shows that day. I remember being on the road when I got the word that I was going to be on the main event. And it was going to be, me and Rhino, I believe, opening up the show. And then I remember being at a 7-Eleven and I got the call where I guess the agents were talking and they were putting me in the main event, which to me was a huge, a huge step for me. Jeff was going through all kinds of personal problems, understandably, and they put me in that spot, and it's hard for me to even explain, man. They had one spot left, and they put me in. Jeff was actually one of the guys that suggested me.
Wow.
Which I think, it was really cool for him to do that. And they put me in, and I remember Cornette. I talked to Cornette about it as well. And I just hope I delivered.
Oh, you did. I loved every second of that. They were upstairs telling me, to go, like, we got a surprise in the main event. I go, really? What? And they're like, wait a minute. Chris didn't wrestle? No way. And Frank Kazarian and Matt Bentley are sitting there going, yeah. And I was like, wait, what? And that crowd popped like crazy, and I wouldn't have been surprised if you had walked out of the Municipal with the belt that night. Was that fun to go back after being in Florida for the time they worked to do a live event in that building after being back? I mean, going all the way back to 2002, we were there. So what was it like just to be at that building for to come out to that pop you got?
Well, I felt pretty good about it, but the build-up they gave me was awesome, and I was worried about it because I even talked to Jeff about it, and he said, "No, it's gonna be good." And you know, this is a guy that just lost his wife, and you know, did the whole promo about it. But it was really cool, man. I mean, he did great. Cornette did great. And then it was up to me to deliver.
Now, after your match at Slammiversary in the King of the Mountain match, I remember you going into a small feud with Christian Cage while he was there. At that point in time, I actually remember sitting there thinking, wow, this is Harris's big push. This is the time we might actually see him start in the main event stuff. Did you ever get that type of impression from the guys doing the booking that maybe this was your time to become the main event player in TNA?
I'm sorry, bro. You were fading out. What did you say?
Well, he brought up the fact that you worked Christian Cage in 07 right after Slammiversary, and you had had a singles run earlier in 04, I believe it was, when Storm got hurt and they booked you to go after the world champ, which I think was AJ or Raven or one of the two. Did you feel in 07 that this was finally it? Because you had such a bloody craziness thing with Storm going on. Did they come to you at some point and say, okay, we're going to put your Christian and we're going to see how things go from here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had the King of the Ring and, or King of the Mountain, and, you know, they were gonna put me out there with, I guess in a singles thing. You know, I thought that was the time. But, I had gotten that feel back in, like you said, like in 04. I got in that feel, but I thought that once they split AMW up, that it was done. You know, that was our ticket, and that was our way to go. And especially with our matches together, I thought we were definitely on our way.
Now, I remember a certain table and somebody's face meeting it in Orlando, and that was ugh. You don't talk about blood everywhere. I remember seeing you guys at the L House later on going, what the crap, dude? You know, if I hadn't known you two kind of liked each other as friends, I would have been like, Jesus. Now, take fans through that situation. Were you and James fine with them breaking up that tag team? Was it time when it happened, or were you guys sitting there going, no, we like this. We like the gold. We like this. Take fans through that situation of the death of AMW.
Well, it was a lot like when they put us together. When they split us up and we had those matches, there was a part of us that thought we could make this work or we can work against it. And I'll admit that, you know, I was one of the guys who was like, okay, no, this is our chance to be singles. And much like what they did when they put us together, they were, hey, we don't know what to do with these guys, so let's put them together. Well, same thing when they did the same thing and they split us up and they were like, what the hell are we going to do with these guys? And so Storm and I got together and we were like, you know, if they don't believe we can be single stars, let's prove them wrong. And so him and I went out and we beat the shit out of each other. And everybody loved it.
I just want to ask something sort of at the tail end of your TNA run. You were a participant in the first ever Feast or Fired match at Turning Point 07. Just wondering, did they tell you guys what's in the cases beforehand, or was it actually a surprise when you had to open the guys had to open the cases?
Yeah, we had no idea what was in there.
Wow, so some real risk.
Oh, yeah.
And say, Chris Harris, you've got a knockout title shot. What? Wait a minute. How did this happen?
I got a title shot?
Yeah, that would have been funny all of a sudden. If the knockouts division existed, you end up getting the case that Gail Kim or someone else was supposed to have. They're not really that prepared to go, okay, we'll just do a flip-flop backstage. Nobody will know.
I think the way they work is whatever you get, they do the storyline out of that.
Yeah. Now,
or Chris Daniels in that case.
Exactly.
He's had no luck with that case, I tell you.
Well, which is probably why he ended up the way he did twice.
Now, we got a couple questions here in our chat room. Jersey Girl wanted to know, when you left TNA Wrestling and you went to WWE, was it Johnny Ace? Was it someone else in the office? And take us through the negotiations. Because I know from talking with you at the time, I was like, oh, God, they're going to send you to FCW. And you were like, no, actually, I'm going to do this. Take us through that whole setup.
If somebody asks me about Braden Walker again, I'm hanging up.
Oh, God.
That was a joke. Hello?
We're here, dude. We're fine. We're just checking in our legal books to go, now, what happens if he hangs up? Do I get moment of the year for 2011? Have I had Chris Harris hang up on me?
yeah. No, bro. I remember telling you about that. No, I never had to go through that because their truth was they were going to fly me down to Tampa instead of, I guess, what they normally do with the contracts is they make people move. And they flew me down several times. So I went down, I trained with them a few times. But that was it. I mean, I thought that was it.
Yeah. Now, take obviously not the greatest name in the world. How soon before that ECW debut did Chris Harris all of a sudden go, okay, so you're Braden Walker, go walk in on this scene with Armando Estrada on ECW?
20 minutes.
Oh, God.
And come on, you got to be honest with us, dude. That handshake with Matt Hardy must have been the biggest moment of your life because, according to him, he seems to be able to save companies or something like that these days.
Handshake with who?
With Hardy, where you guys had your thing with Matt Hardy on ECW.
Oh, no, bro. Well, Matt's a buddy of mine, so he was trying to do everything he could for me.
Including a certain Wildcat drop-in?
Yeah, him putting the Wildcat name in there was his idea. And I was like, great, man, that sounds great. But I thought they were actually going to do something with him and I. And I don't know, I think they put him towards the title or something. That might have been my last night, I can't remember. But no, Matt was definitely a supporter of me. And him putting my name out there like that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Were you surprised at all when all of a sudden there really wasn't a build-up like you see recently with Alberto Del Rio, or they did at the time with another certain former TNA superstar named Ron Killings, who's known as R-Truth? Was that what was the setup before the initial you walked in to the ECW general manager's office? Did they say, okay, we're going to do this build-up with Braden Walker? Was any of that ever on the table with WWE Creative?
I should say everybody but Stephanie was there. I felt like it was a great meeting. I flew up there, and actually it was me and Ron Killings together. We sat there in the meeting. They had him for about 2 hours. He left, and then they brought me in. I was there for 2 hours. It all sounded good, man. I mean, that's how it works, I guess. You know, we had so many good ideas, and they were so happy with everything, and I was happy with everything. And I thought we were going to do some some good business, some good work after that, and nothing ever happened.
Do you regret it at all? Do you sit there and go, I should have just stayed in TNA, I may have a job there right now, or are you happy that you at least had the WWE experience?
Well, that's a question that eats at me all the time, man. I would love to have just stayed with TNA. But there's always that question of, you know, what if? And at least now I know. I mean, I know what it's like to be there. I know what it's like to deal with those people, and I know what it's like to work for the company. It is not at all what people think it is. TNA was a place that, you know, even though it can be frustrated at times, it's a good place to work for. It's a good place to call home. It's a great place to start from.
Now, I just want to sort of change things around a little bit. I'm always about getting experience from guys like yourselves who have been to the top of the mountain, that have seen the guys coming up in the independents and stuff on the American scene. What type of advice would you give to somebody who's either in the wrestling business or wanting to get into it? Also, please be advised that we have had plenty of go out and get an education first, finding a right training school. Do you have any other type of experience or words of wisdom that you could impart on us?
If you're looking for something more than that, then not really.
Not really, not any workout tips or anything? Because I've heard guys talk about cardio a lot.
Well, of course cardio, yeah, but that's a natural thing. You have to go to school, bro. I mean, you have to. And my advice right now, you know, I've been in this area for less than a year, but I think Bubba's school is probably the best to go to.
Team 3D Academy in Kissimmee.
I'm sorry?
The Team 3D Academy that they have down in Kissimmee from you guys in Orlando.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, that's probably the best one you can go to.
Yeah. Now, we've had many a story on this program of the backstage fun that goes on, the road trip fun that goes on. Now, I know a few that are a little R-rated that I can't share, but if Spug usually gets this question in, but unfortunately he's not available at this moment, so if you, without, you know, totally embarrassing other folks and keep it PG-rated, the best rib that you either have pulled on someone, had seen pulled, or had one pulled on you that you could possibly share with us. Or you could always take the route of, no, I'm saving it for my tell-all book, which is coming soon to a publisher near you.
All right, I got one for you. This works for all the above because it's some of the best ribs pulled by some of the best, and it's pulled on some of the top guys. So I'll give you a story that was pulled by Kurt Hennig, who was one of my best friends, and was pulled on Abyss, who was one of my best friends. I don't know a lot of details because it was so long ago, but maybe 10 years ago, we had a show in somewhere, I think it was Philly, maybe somewhere around Philly, and we were at the hotel bar, and
And Abyss and I came up together, so he was a big Jack drinker. He liked to drink Jack, and I was always a beer drinker. Of course, Kurt, many people know, he was a shot drinker. He was, he did the shots Jack. So me being the instigator that I am, we were all hanging out, and I was giving shit to Abyss and everybody else about Kurt doing the shots, and I think I said something about that he couldn't outdrink Kurt or something like that. But and so Kurt was he jumped on it. He was like, "Oh, really?" And so he went shot for shot with Abyss. Abyss might kick my ass for doing this, but I'm going to tell you this.
You're safe. It's just us and a couple million people worldwide listening.
Right. Yeah, no big deal. But, no. So they went shot for shot and for hours. I stirred the shit, of course, and he kept getting, he was pissed at me. I mean, Abyss was pissed. He was like, "Stop doing that," and, you know, but Kurt was just like, "All right, let's keep going." And so about 3 in the morning, you know, we had to carry Abyss to his room because he was doing shot for shot of Jack with Kurt Henning. And we got into his room, and it wasn't until and anybody that knows Kurt knows that you don't find out until days later, weeks, months, hell, now I'm even finding out years later. You find out that you know what his real game plan was, and it turned out that Kurt was drinking iced tea the entire night.
That is crazy.
That is awesome.
He had something set up with the bartender where the bartender was giving him tea, and he was giving Abyss Jack the entire night.
Yeah, I got to ask sort of a follow up to this. Like we've all seen on TNA television James Storm's love of drinking.
And the beer
I gotta
scooter.
Ask. Yeah, yes. The boozer cruiser. I want one. I've got to ask. Out of it, like I'm sure you guys have probably had competitions after shows or something like that. Who is the overall biggest shot doer beer drinker? Who's the last man standing at the end of a boozy night?
Well, between me and him?
Yeah. You guys, anybody else in TNA at the time?
Bro, that's all TV. He can't hang with me.
So he's a lightweight. Awesome.
Yeah, but you got to remember, you go to the L House afterwards.
You make, sure you tell him that.
Yeah, before the crew used to go into the DoubleTree Hotel where they were keeping the fans out, I used to go with these guys afterward to watch basketball or Monday Night Football or whatnot, and they had a bucket of beer deal where I think you got like 8 or 9 bucket beers for like $5, and I turned out to become everybody has like the designated driver. I was the designated beer watcher for America's Most Wanted and the Naturals, where they just put it like, "Alan, sit." I'm like, "Okay, cool. How you doing, guys? All right, fine, sit." I got these buckets in front of me, and they're like, "Anybody comes up, you know what to do." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." So I've had to tell like Samoa Joe, Monty Brown, all these people like, "Who said you can have that?" And I'm 180 some odd pounds soaking wet with 2 bricks in my pocket. And I'm like, "My friend said you can't have the beer." "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah, they said no."
But that brings up the other thing. Like, Ellen, I know you're telling the story about Chris and James shooting the bottle caps at you. Chris, was there any other ways that you were torturing Ellen that you'd like to let us in on?
Oh, God.
No, if I had a chance to do it again, I'd do it again.
They had so much fun because they're sitting on a scaffold behind me after their stuff's done. And the first time, and this is after they turned heel. They never did it when they were faces. Once they turned heel.
They took our scaffold away. You know that, right?
Yeah, them sons of bitches took the scaffold away. I was like, what the hell is that about? The live audience used to see them up there when they were faces and never bothered with them. Once they got turned heel, they're sitting up there, and all of a sudden I see, wing, what the hell is that? And I thought it was Jerry Lynn sitting at the console behind me, and sure enough, I turn around, and they're like, oh, hey. And I'm like, wing, oh, crap. Okay, now Storm's throwing at me. So, I mean, it was fun. I miss those days, and
you and me both, bro.
Yeah, I mean, do you look at the current product and sit there and go, yeah, I want to be there? Or are you sitting there going, good God, what the hell happened to the TNA that I loved?
A little bit of both. I still enjoy it, but there's a lot of it that I look at and I'm like, oh, there's so much more we could do with this.
Now, it is March the 5th is the event. It is called Best of the Best. Chris will be involved in this event. General admission is $10. There are gold tickets that are $15. First two rows, there are special meet and greets involved here. Oh, we just got another question. I guess we will ask this one. I'm trying to wrap this up, but the fans keep sending me stuff. Jersey Girl wanted to know, with you being friends with Kurt, what do you think of his son being involved in the business, Joe, now Michael McGillicuddy? What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's an interesting move for him to follow in dad and granddad's shoes?
Well, again, I'm kind of biased because when I was in Tampa during the time I was in WWE, I got really tight with Joe because we had that bond, that connection. And so I think Joe being around just even the wrestling business itself, I think is a great thing. He's a great person. He's a great soul, and he's a great wrestler. And if he can follow in his dad's footsteps, that'd be awesome.
Does your brother still run WildcatChrisHarris.com, or did the site disappear?
No, that's gone.
All right, but you are on Facebook, I know that. Do you do the twitting social networking thing, or is that just that's for the other kids in the neighborhood?
I'm trying. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to get up to date with everybody.
Yeah, all right. Like I said, it is March the 5th. It is Best of the Best. We will address this card in a few minutes. On the other side of the break, we'll run the entire event that's there and stuff that's going on. Thanks to Chris Harris for being here with us. We'll stay with us for a second after on the break, Chris. We'll be back and we'll pub some indie dates that are coming up on World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
You need my love, baby, oh so bad. You're not the only one I've ever had.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move a small section of what we would talk about on OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Bashing the Books. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic books, and I just let you know what's going on. So, every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring, maybe not, who knows? The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archives section of wildtalkradio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Bashing the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. The Hero Says, whenever they wrestle, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And some more.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online world of wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Check it out today. Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Sophia Restaurant, may I help you?
Yes, I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow pea.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
And we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means the chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have, like, fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not tomato, vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thank you so much to Wildcat Chris Harris for staying with us throughout all our fun this evening.
I got to buy that boy a beer.
Absolutely. Oh, God. I've said many a time as the official beer watcher for America's Most Wanted, I just see these guys put away beer, and I'm just going, good God, man. As we were talking about, Chris will be a part of ASW Best of the Best. It is going to be March the 5th, Saturday, March the 5th, your Orlando National Guard Armory in a 8 p.m. bell time. There will be a 7:30 special meet and greet for gold ticket holders, which are $15. That is the first two rows of the building. General admission is $10. Now, this is the card as it stands this second. Between now and then, obviously, there may be some title changes. There are going to be some knockouts on this show as international star Christina Von Erie will take on a friend of this show's, the former TNA knockout, Playboy Centerfold, Tracy Brooks. The world's largest all-nighters, which if you're a fan of Shooter Storm, Joey Knight, originally was supposed to take on the former NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies, however, due to health issues. Both gentlemen, unfortunately, have been removed from the card. The former AWA World Tag Team Champions, former FIP World Tag Team Champions, and a guest on the show a few months back, Superstar Sean and Fabulous Phil, the Davises, the Heartbreak Express will be on there. In a ladder match, which was originally scheduled to be for the ASW Tag Team Championships, which I believe maybe switched to a number one contender contract match, Misled Youth, Sean Prime, and Josh Rain will take on Ramos and Rivera, the New Yorkans, taking on Los Bendejos, taking on the former champions, unless they get the belts back between now and March 5th, the Pretty Boy Gus Money and the Prodigy Mike Cruz, the Latin Assassins. TNA superstar Jesse Neal will be on this show. Francisco Chiazzo, a friend of ours from this show, also will be here. We've also had added on this show a ASW Tag Team title match because the Uprising, the infamous Eddie Torres and the essential Eric Cooper defeated the Latin Assassins in a Fiddle 4-Way match. They're going to take on the former ASW Heavyweight Champion, the Emerald Emperor Simon Says, and his tag team partner, Jay Lethal. Now, to one-up this tag team, Eddie and Eric recruited Jay Lethal's former love interest in TNA wrestling, TNA knockout SoCal Val, is going to be involved in that match as well. The Suicide Messiah, Mark Mandrake, is going to be taking on the Eighth Deadliest Sin, also a member of the Uprising. And that would be Sideshow is on that event. We also have a triple threat match. As of this moment, I said, this is how it stands. This card could change between now and then. The current ASW Heavyweight Champion, the Raw Dog, Aaron Kanye Epic, will take on the man who had the belt and then unfortunately was stripped of the belt, and that would be Biff Slater, taking on Florida Mainstay, a man who should be in TNA or WWE. How he's not there, I'll never know. That would be the marquee Bruce Santee. You can go to aswflorida.com, check out that event. It is 2809 Fern Creek Avenue. You can also call 407-244-6461 is the way to get to there. One of our friends, Jersey Girl, is friends with Chance Prophet. He has a match coming up really soon. I believe it is this weekend. I lost the link. If Jersey can, the Jersey disappear on me. I think she did. Damn. Hold on. I got it. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Yeah, she was mentioning that Phil Shatter, who actually is Gunner in TNA Wrestling, he is the NWA, oh God, I'm blanking on the title. The Sheik is the North American champion. I believe he's the national champion. It's weird what that company is, because the NWA's got the actual world heavyweight champion, which is Scrap Iron Adam Pearce. And then there's a bunch of regional championships, and the North American champion is the Sheik, who was the Pro Wrestling Fusion heavyweight champion of South Florida promotion. And also don't forget the current NWA World Tag Team champions, hard to believe it or not, but the Dark City Fight Club, who have been on this show before. We love having them around whenever they get to be here. Okay, open sesame, please. Okay, there it is. I got it. I apologize. Welcome to live radio. I hate this kind of stuff happening. There it is. It is February the 19th in Franklinville, New Jersey. Tickets are $13. Wow. Not a bad deal, fans. So definitely, it is the Franklin Skating Center, 2608 North Delisa Drive. As said, it is NWA Vintage is the group that's doing it. He is the current national champion, former NWA national champion, current NWA dog champion. Chance Prophet will be involved. Also, Head Taka Suzuki will go one-on-one with the 2010 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup winner, the new horror, Sammy Callahan. If you've never seen Sammy wrestle, find some of him on YouTube. He is phenomenal to see in person. The Monster Squad of John Dahmer and Anthony Graves are looking to continue their path of destruction. Matt Tremont has put his life on the line in the squared circle, but he will be taking on the very unpredictable Wax, who I believe used to be a photographer for Combat Zone Wrestling. And if that's not enough, the NWA Continental Champion Damian Wayne will defend against someone who I have seen over the last few years flourish into a national star. That would be the Shooter Vordell Walker. Also appearing on that show is, this is a great name, Pizza Boy Johnny Calzone, Australian superstar Ryan Eagles, and Alex Payne, who I believe is known as Sugarfoot in ROH. As mentioned, all tickets are $13, a special discount.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know the guy. He's a dick. He's not that good.
Ooh, breaking news there. He's not good. Fans can order the tickets by emailing Atticus, A-T-T-I-C-U-S, 1367 at Comcast.net, or you can pick them up at Sick Creations Piercing and Tattoos, which is located at 530 Crown Point Road in West Deptford, New Jersey. As mentioned, you can find this all on Facebook. You can look up the events and everything. So definitely check that out. We would love to have you check in with us on events like that. And thanks to Jersey Girl for mentioning that for us. We're over on our time that I originally allotted for the show. We were going to talk MMA with Spug, but no spunk, kind of hard to talk MMA, but from what I'm told, definitely find the replay of this past Saturday's UFC event, where I believe one kick ended a match, and that's just amazing to hear.
Earl Foote ate Silva's foot for lunch. It was a great kick. Definitely a moment to go and check out. Find it any way you can. YouTube, whatever.
Sir Rogan says he can sum up MMA for us. How can you do that, God of Internet?
Punches, kicks, knockouts. MMA for you.
Excellent. Most excellent. I want again thank everybody who went out and voted in the WTR Awards. I was really sincere. I was very humbled to be told you're going to win for Interview of the Year, dude, for your interview with Steve Corino. I was like, get the hell out of here. Are you kidding me? I was very thankful.
Yeah, you were thankful and humble. We weren't. Check out the award.
Oh, you just weren't. Yeah, and I hope Mace enjoyed getting his award from me. I had a couple other people in mind, and they were like, no, they've already done them. Damn. I was like, oh, God, who can I give an award? Wait a minute, Mace gets an award. Mace deserves an award. So,
just to think, out of all those awards, Omega still ended up with nothing.
Are you serious? He got jobbed out? The dude's the end-all, be-all of the network. How does that happen? You can find out. Go to the archives page, wildtalkradio.com. As we like to say on here, I am just one show on an amazing network of friends and colleagues that love hanging out with on after shows and between shows. So tomorrow night is Otaku Talk Live. If you're new to our show, Otaku Talk Live is basically Geek Speak, Dwarf Tossing, and other stuff. Any semblance of what could be on the show tomorrow, Mace, is the representative of that trio?
There is a lot going on in the world of geek. Three big trailers debuted during the Super Bowl. Also, Power Rangers are back, ladies and gentlemen, and with Omega and myself being big Power Ranger Kamen Rider fans, so I am quite sure we'll touch on that topic. Plus, our main discussion for this week, hopefully, will be what type of TV shows, movies, or comic books would you turn into video games, with extra points being if it can be Lego-friendly. So tune in to that Otaku Talk Live tomorrow night, right here on wildtalkradio.com at 9 p.m.
Alan, I just have a question.
Yeah,
Alan, I have a question. That sounds like they have a show format.
Yeah. Shut up. Yeah, that's kind of creepy, man. That's like, what the heck?
This whole new 2011 thing is kind of weird. Show format for OTL. That's going to say, like, CB Radio has content prepared, which you can listen to midnight-ish on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Saturday nights.
Yeah, the very lovely Cindy Sin is still on hiatus. I believe she's heading to Ibiza or something for a festival of some kind. I'm not sure. What's with Johnny Cashmere? Is he doing live on Sundays? Do we know Sir Rockin, or is it going to be a to be determined situation?
Working out situation schedules with Johnny Cashmere. There could be something live, or just check the archives page this week for Life is Callous, Johnny Cashmere.
And this Sunday, yes, it is Against All Odds Sunday, or as we like to call it, yeah, so it's TNA pay-per-view.
Oh, pay-per-view Sundays. Damn it.
That's right, kids. So this Sunday, 11 o'clock Eastern, I'll be joining Mace, Spug, Tim Stein, and the end-all be-all Omega, possibly Will, if Will remembers to be on the show. It's fun when Will's there, because he does not hold back. He's just sitting there going, whatever.
He is the pure sense of a fan.
Absolutely. And you can check out last Sunday's show. Every show on this network is archived on wildtalkradio.com. We are archived through Click Wrestle, which is a great on-demand site where you can find matches from around the world, shoot interviews from other companies, and every Online World of Wrestling show from episode 1 to whatever the heck episode this is. I don't even keep track of numbers. I think it was almost around this time a year ago I joined the Wild Talk Radio Network as a part of this show, and that's pretty cool. So thanks to Wildcat Chris Harris for being a part of this event. We will be suing his cell phone provider ruining my evening. Thanks to Scott Fishman. Definitely check out MannyHurl.com. He is also on Twitter. I believe it SM Fishman is how you can find him. He's also on Facebook. The official Twitter of Online World of Wrestling is twitter.com/OWWCM. I have been forced by the higher ups to be a part of Twitter, so it's twitter.com/ my name is Wojcik. Spug has one. He is part of Tap Outs to Knockouts, which May's convention now. When is the next? Is it just by UFC event, or is it UFC and Strikeforce as well you guys will cover?
Usually an hour before any Strikeforce or UFC event, we will go on the air, providing that big amounts of snow don't drop from the sky and cause Spug to be out plowing all night. That's been the reason why we haven't done a show in a while, because every time he goes to go, yes, we're going to do Tap Outs to Knockouts this week, crap, there's like 800 inches of snow out the front. Oh, I've got to go make money.
And what better way to end the evening here with a song that almost never made it out of the Kiss catalog, and it's Beth. So thanks to the Big Ball Association, Dead Rich, Brad Dykin, Tim Stein, Sir Rockin, Spug, Mace, all the listeners. We'll see you next week. We got some cool stuff coming up on the pike. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Have a good night.